tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is a Tuesday, the 28th of July, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I would like to take a look at what is happening in Germany. And in a lot of ways, Germany is further down the path of self-destruction than Britain. There are a lot of reasons for that. Of course, after losing the Second World War, the Germans were occupied by the Americans, or the Allies, that's including the British as well, and the East Germany was given to the Soviets, and a new constitution was effectively written by the Allies, and in this constitution it says that Germany has to be governed by a liberal democracy. It has to be promoting liberal democracy, not just a democracy, but a liberal one, which is, of course, why they go after the Alternative for Deutschland and say, well, they're going against the constitution. They're anti-liberal. So in that way, Germany is probably far worse off than any other country in Europe. And we can see the sort of things that are happening in Germany are the same sort of things that are happening in Britain. And this first article that I've got today comes from GB News, and the headline is, German government tried to cover up Syrian migrants' attack on Good Samaritan tourist. Why would they be trying to cover this up? Because, of course, they want to promote this fallacy that multiculturalism is good for us and that diversity is a strength. So every time one of these new diverse people that our governments have brought into our countries attack one of the indigenous people, that shows that diversity was not a strength for that particular victim, was it? So, of course, they want to cover these things up. They want to hide these things. This is why the grooming gangs were covered up by successive governments and successive police, because they didn't want there to be friction between the communities in the country, the multicultural communities. They didn't want the white people to know effectively what these other ethnic minority communities were doing to them. And we have this same thing happening here, but it's with an individual rather than with a group attacks on another group. American tourist who was left disfigured after intervening in an assault on a woman aboard a German tram has claimed the country's government tried to cover up his attack. And we hear these allegations of something similar going on in Britain as well. We hear that when somebody is attacked, there's an organization that moves straight into action, and it puts up hashtag not all Muslims, hashtag don't look back in anger, and there'll be vigils with a Muslim, an imam and a rabbi there, all talking about how the real victims in this is the Muslim community, because there'll be a rise in hate. And the victim's family will be given a statement which they have to sign. And in it, they will say, we don't want this attack to be politicized. We don't want this to become about race or migration status or anything like that. And this is because the government will send people there to advise the family on what to say. I mean, when Henry Novak was murdered, the police tried to put out a statement effectively saying that Henry Novak had caused the incident, and Henry Novak's family had to stop them from doing that. And then, of course, when Henry Novak's father did actually read out his statement on the steps of the court, these commonly used words were in that statement, commonly used words by politicians and the mainstream media, but not generally used by members of the public who don't sort of really think about inciting hate. They don't really see it as that when you're talking about trying to prevent another of these murders happening by limiting immigration. They don't see that as inciting hate, and they wouldn't really use that sort of language, that politicized language. And I notice all the time when you have somebody white who's murdered by an illegal immigrant or by somebody black, the same language will be used by the person who makes a statement. And I think they're also told if you do make it about race or religion, then we're not going to help you, or migration status, we're not going to help you. If you go along with what we say, we'll give you victim counselling, we'll give you trauma counselling, we'll talk about having a vigil, and the members of parliament will talk to you. But if you don't, and you say what you want to say, then you won't get any of that. And I think that sort of thing goes on. And effectively, this is what we're being told is what happened in Germany after this attack on the tram. John Rudat, a 21-year-old model, was slashed with a box cutter when he tried to protect two women from being assaulted and harassed in Dresden last August. I mean, that's a Stanley knife, effectively. And that's horrific. Slashed with a Stanley knife. The attack left him with a scar stretching beneath his eye, across his nose, and through his upper lip, requiring extensive surgery. And don't forget, this man was a model. And he stepped in to protect these two young women. And this was the response. Slashed in the face. The 21-year-old Syrian national who inflicted the life-changing injuries was handed a 3-year youth prison sentence, which means he'll be out after about a year and a half. While his accomplice, who also assaulted Mr. Rudat, was suspended on probation for a year and 8 months. So not even a prison sentence for the other one. Imagine being slashed across the face, life-changing injuries, your career is over, and the person just has to spend a year in prison. Speaking exclusively to GB News, Mr. Rudat claimed a minister ordered him to keep quiet about his ordeal while he was in hospital. He said the minister visited him in hospital and advised him to stay silent in the media. The politician is also alleged to have promised that his attacker would face a hard sentence. So they were really concerned about this, that it was going to look bad on the Syrian migrants. So they put pressure on him and said, well, look, please stay silent in the media. And they're so desperate to keep a lid on this and pretend that it's not happening, pretend that what everybody sees happening around them isn't actually happening. They're literally asking people to lie, effectively. And another thing this reminds me of is a podcast I did a good few years back, and it was about Ireland, and the Irish government said that they wanted to bring in, I forget how many people it was, might have been 2 million, might have been 20 million people, or 5 million people over the next 10 years, and they paid the mainstream media, I think 200,000 euros, not to print any negative stories about migrants. They were to only print positive stories about migrants in exchange for this money. And this is effectively the same thing here, isn't it? They don't want to have negative news stories about migrants, so they'll put pressure on the person who's been attacked not to speak to the media about this and to stay silent. You wonder if they're also giving incentives to the media to write promotional stories about the migrants. The minister spoke to me off the books, so not obviously off the record, effectively, so he wanted this to remain secret, for about an hour in a private room in the hospital. He said, John, we're going to give them a hard sentence, don't you worry, but here's what you need to do. I need you to keep quiet about it, stay out of the media light, and just let us handle it for you. And you couldn't really get any more obvious than that they're effectively trying to hide these crimes, aren't they? They don't want the public to learn about them. Mr. Rudat also slammed his attacker's lenient sentence, branding it insane. Both he and his accomplice were sentenced under Germany's youth criminal law. What everybody was really confused about, including my lawyer, when I went over there to testify, was why these grown men were being tried under juvenile law. It doesn't make sense. Of course, that's because when illegal immigrants come into the country, they claim to be children. so that they get more benefits effectively. And if they've thrown away their documents and it's against their human rights to have a look at their teeth, for instance, and see how old they are from their teeth, then we can't tell how old they are. In fact, there was a dentist, I think it was a Swedish dentist, and he noticed that all these child migrants that were coming into his dentistry, they were all actually much older than they were claiming to be, because he could tell from their teeth. And he went public about this, and he said, look, something like 90% or 87% of the child migrants that I'm seeing coming into this dentistry are all not children. They are all adults, and I can tell from their teeth. And he was struck off, and they said that he had betrayed his client's confidence. I mean, he wasn't saying this individual is older. He just said something like 87% of them are. He was pointing out that a lot of this group were fraudulently pretending to be child migrants, and that was the response. He's no longer able to practice as a dentist. The two defendants had prior convictions, including assaults on police officers and drug trafficking. Both had subsidiary protection status in Germany at the time of the attack, but this has since been revoked. It remains unclear whether they will be deported. Well, I'll make a guess that they won't be deported, because they'll say that if they get deported, they'll be at risk in their own country, because they will have on their criminal record something to do with sexual assault. And they'll say, well, you can't deport us because we've been got a conviction for sexual assault here. That means that we could be executed when we go back home, because rapists are not wanted in those countries, effectively. And this is the reason why we can't deport any of these people. Because they've been found guilty of heinous crimes in Britain, we can't then deport them back to Afghanistan, because the Afghans will hang them. Both defendants expressed remorse and apologised for their actions, claiming they had been drunk at the time of the attack. I mean, that's incredible. Oh, sorry about slashing you in the face with a Stanley knife. It was just because I had a little bit too much to drink at the time. I mean, if that says that these people, when they have a little bit to drink, they're likely to stab people, you really don't want them in your country, do you? I mean, that's not a mitigating circumstance. Oh, I was drunk at the time of the attack. It was the drink talking. And most people, when they have a drink, it's a social lubricant, isn't it? They become more friendly. They don't then want to go and stab somebody unless they have a bit of a drink problem. These two individuals had 10 prior accounts each. It's insane, Mr. Rudak told GB News. So that's 10 prior convictions. 3 years is very lenient. 1 year and 8 months on probation suspended for the man who was assaulting the woman with 100 hours of community service. What kind of verdict is that? Well, it's the same kind of verdict that we saw in Britain recently, where a person of migrant heritage was not even given a jail sentence for gang rape because they said, oh, well, he's a migrant. He's still a child. So we don't want to ruin his life by putting him in the justice system. What about the girl's life who's been ruined by him raping them? So you see the same thing going on in Germany as in Britain. Mr. Rudat suggested that he had no regrets over intervening to try and defend the frightened girl. When asked what he would like others to learn from his ordeal, he encouraged them to step in no matter what. I mean, that is your instinct as a man, is to go in and protect a woman. But I think when you're dealing with unknown quantities like migrants, you don't know what the response is likely to be. I mean, if it had been white people that were harassing these girls, number one, it would be very rare that white people would have been harassing them in the first place. But if it had been a white man doing that, he would not have been likely to have a Stanley knife in his pocket and slash you with a Stanley knife. I mean, he might punch you one, but I don't think he'd be slashing you with a Stanley knife. This is the unpredictability of this. Also, you have instances with black people where they tend to have less of a control over their emotions. And I'm basing this on what I've heard from trial evidence. When a black man's been in the box there, and he's been accused of murdering somebody, and he'll say, well, I just snapped, and I thought that the man was a threat, and I just stabbed him hundreds of times, and I in a fit of rage. And that this is a risk that you have. They might fly into a fit of rage where they're not really responsible for their actions. And I'm not saying that as a slur. I'm saying that based on what a lot of these black people end up saying when they're put on trial for these sorts of things happening. So because it's an unknown quantity, I think you need to be very, very careful if you're thinking about intervening and it's somebody of non-white ancestry that is going after somebody white. Be very careful. Be on guard, effectively. I mean, perhaps this person may not have been slashed by the Stanley knife if he had been aware of the sort of things that I am aware of. I mean, that would be a better thing to tell people. Be aware that if you're dealing with migrants, you might get slashed with a Stanley knife. So keep eyes in the back of your head, basically. If you are going to intervene in a situation like this, be aware that something like that might happen, so that you can perhaps mount a defensive move first. I mean, that's the sort of advice I would give, rather than just telling people to step in there no matter what, which is what he's saying here. I would say step in there if you are certain that you can protect yourself if they suddenly attack you with a knife. He said, I would be grateful if the next time they saw violence or injustice happening in public, they stepped in no matter the consequences. And also, I mean, I did a life-saving course when I was a youth. And one of the first things you learn about life-saving is that if it's going to put your life at risk to go and save that other person's life, then you mustn't do it, because you have to protect your life first. So I think that principle comes in here as well. It's not a step in no matter what. It's step in if you are confident that you can deal with potential if you can deal with the potential response that might come from somebody of migrant heritage. He said, because the moment people refuse to stand up for each other as citizens is the moment we lose the sacred moral fabric of society. I hope people stand up for one another, both in Europe and here in America. And GB News has approached Germany's Interior Ministry for comment. Doesn't say whether they gave a comment or not. We certainly don't actually have a comment here about it. Now, I have another news report here from Germany. This is from Breitbart. Headline, in Germany, it is open season for rape. This country is finished, say police officers. So in the last one, we just saw that people of migrant heritage are pretty much let off after slashing someone with a box cutter. And here we're actually hearing from the police themselves, and they're talking about how bad the situation is in Germany. When the cameras aren't rolling, German police officers on the front line of the migrant crisis give their unvarnished account of the state of the nation, finding the Germany we know is disappearing. And of course, this so-called migrant crisis, I think this began in 2014 when Angela Merkel just opened up the borders and said, we can do this. And a million alleged Syrians flooded into the country. And it's been going on since then. But Germany's had a problem with migration from before that. It's just that this particular wave of migration is called the migrant crisis. A German investigative journalist has urged her fellow countrymen to listen to police officers and their experiences and act accordingly. German broadsheet newspaper Die Welt reports the words of Liv von Bottischer, who said she had spoken to police officers across Germany from all departments of all ages and from all federal states. So this isn't just happening in one area, it's happening all across Germany. The journalist said she was prompted to come forward with what she had learned after noticing speaking to her officers told a very different and unvarnished account of Germany after the official interviews had finished and the cameras stopped rolling. So this was all off the record. The police themselves were concerned that if they actually spoke the truth about this, they might lose their jobs. So they spoke off the record. Having given the official line, their jobs may depend upon, to be taped. Afterwards, they related what she called stories of fear and anger, violence, loss of control, and failed migration policies, and the feeling among law enforcement officers of often being abandoned by politics and society. I mean, this really sort of humanizes the police, doesn't it? I mean, we look at the two-tier system in Britain, very easy and tempting to say, well, all of the police are anti-white. And then you hear of these police in Germany, and they're effectively being forced to do this. They don't want to do this. They've been abandoned by politics. They've been abandoned by society. Anger, fear, violence, loss of control, and failed migration policies. And I would add to that failed government policies to deal with migration. I mean, perhaps that's what they mean by migration policies. Perhaps you could say that diversity, equity, and inclusion is a failed migration policy, because if it wasn't for migration, we wouldn't even have DEI. And that's bound to be going on with the German police, just as it is with the British police. Sometimes being able to spin the truth of how Germany is now in a struggle for even specialised police officers, she said, adding, "I have repeatedly witnessed press officers struggling to find the right words to make absurd situations acceptable and bearable in front of the camera." And again, this is because of these speech laws. You have to use absurd terminology when talking about the most horrific crimes and the most horrific perpetrators of these crimes. And yet you're not allowed to outright condemn them, because that would be considered hate speech, wouldn't it? So I can imagine these press officers are getting quite tongue-tied in how to explain what has just happened without appearing to be insulting the person that just carried out the attack. I mean, in Germany, it's not just that you're not allowed to use insulting language about ethnic minorities. You're not allowed to use insulting language about politicians either. Politicians have special protections. Von Bottischer reflected to Welt that the pretty much unanimous opinion was, "It's getting worse and worse," and had been told by one police officer that the Germany we know is disappearing. Others said that in Germany it is open season for robbery and rape. And she was told even the most serious crimes often have surprisingly few consequences. Far too often, perpetrators more or less get away with it. But of course, if you're a white person and you're complaining about this, then you can get put in prison for years. And it says the Germany we know is disappearing. Well, that's deliberately being done, isn't it? And that's not because of the government, policies of the government. That's because the government opened the borders up and brought all these migrants in. And of course the culture of Germany is going to change if it no longer has Germans in it. And this was said about Athens many years ago. The problem with Athens is that it no longer has any Athenians in it. And this was at the end of the Greek Golden Age, effectively. Athens was suddenly no longer full of the people that actually built Athens in the first place, and that's why it collapsed. And the same thing is going to happen in Germany. When it no longer has enough Germans in it, the German civilization will collapse. I mean, that has happened throughout history. You have a particular ethnic group, it builds a civilization, because life is good there. More and more different ethnic groups come into that area, and eventually they outnumber the ethnic group that built the place, and it collapses. And this is why you have evidence of all these collapsed civilizations: Egypt, Greece, Rome, even India. Looking at the ancient Aryan civilizations in India, same thing happened. The same thing's happening again now. Of her expertise of talking to Berlin cops, von Bottischer noted that the city was a hotspot in a level of trouble beyond the rest of the country. She said, "Some police officers have even told me quite literally, 'We have already lost this country,' or 'This country is finished.'" And some people say, "Oh, London has fallen." And in Britain, I mean, saying London has fallen, I mean, that can be seen as hate speech. I can recall seeing somewhere that it was being accused of being hate speech. And that's effectively what these Berlin police are saying. "We've already lost this country." They've effectively lost Berlin. At the same time, I want to emphasise that this is a process taking place, and there is still a theoretical chance of turning things around, but that would have to happen quickly. And there would have to be a will to do that. I mean, the problem is, liberal democracy is not going to be able to turn things around in Germany. And unless you're a liberal democratic party, then you're not supposed to be in power. This is what gets used against Alternative for Deutschland. because they're a right-wing party and they get accused of being far right, they say to them, well, you're not upholding the Constitution. We are only allowed to have a liberal democrat party here. Not the actual liberal democrats like we have in Britain, but liberal democracy, effectively. And unless you have this will there in politics, then not much is going to change. I mean, I guess you can make some tinkering around the edges, limit migration. But the only way to really solve these problems is to go back to having a supermajority of Germans, the same as Patriotic Alternative. So what we need in Britain, we need to have a supermajority of the Indigenous Britons. It needs to be at least 95% Indigenous Britons. And that will solve a large number of these problems. But you're not going to be able to do that unless you have the willpower in the politicians to do that. The despairing attitude of German police officers comes despite a decade-long effort to purge Germany's police forces of mass migration critical officers and supporters of populist right border control party, the Alternative for Germany, the AfD. So they've literally got rid of all the right-wing police officers, and now these police officers that are there, none of them have a history of being right-wing, and yet they're all saying, well, the country's fallen, and it's open season for rape and murder, effectively, in Germany. That push to get conservatives out of the police continues today, with the country's senior policeman saying in 2025 that supporting AfD is incompatible with being a police officer. And the German state seeks to ban AfD party members from taking government jobs at all. It's just unbelievable. So your political views can cause you to be kicked out of the police. And I think that's wrong. I mean, a policeman's political views are his own private personal views, and they shouldn't affect how they deal with being a policeman. I mean, as we said in the news story yesterday, the police should be policing without fear or favour, but that doesn't mean that they're not allowed to have their own political views. It's just that they should separate those political views from their actual actions as police. I mean, we were always understood years ago that we could do this, and that your views on things were your own private views. It had nothing to do with your boss, nothing to do with the people that you worked for. That's your opinion on things. Why should you have to have the same opinion as the politicians and the state and the bureaucrats? It's your opinion. So long as it doesn't interfere with carrying out your job, then it shouldn't be a problem. But over here in Germany, they're saying, well, you can't even vote for the AfD. If you vote for the AfD, then you can't actually be a policeman. So we think things are bad in Britain, but they are progressively getting worse in Germany. Although, as I say, there are similarities there. There are similarities. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.